The Burt Show.
You know how they say that comparison is a thief of joy? But it can also give you great perspective also. I'm driving around yesterday in my truck, and I just so happen to pass a construction site where there must have been a dozen guys out there. And it was super hot in Georgia yesterday. It's like, I don't know, almost 90 degrees. Humidity to me felt like 90%. You know, they're just sweating it out, and they're just hammering away and doing what construction dudes do. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah. And then on the way home, I saw a couple of students that were part of a moving truck, you know, like college, struggling college students. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that one? And they're sweating it out also as they're moving furniture into somebody's house. And I thought, oh, my God, tomorrow morning I get to go into work and this is what we do for a living.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think about that every single time I pass a job that I'm just like, I don't know how you do that. And they do it dancing and happy most
right.
of the time.
Yeah, I would be absolutely miserable. But here we are in this air-conditioned studio hanging out and doing stupid fart jokes and talking about stupid reality TV shows and getting paid for it.
No, it's literally the greatest. When my friends talk about like going to their real jobs and they're doing their Excel spreadsheets, I'm like, I would literally die.
I know, right?
You sit in a cubicle all day.
I know. And you know, some people are built for that. I'm not ripping on it. It's just not my personality. But there are some times where I walk back into that sales department and it is so quiet and everybody's back there looking at their screens and there's no interaction. I'd last one day in a job like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And like for me, I can only handle our coffee machine for so long. I get to go home and at least use my at-home coffee machine. I'm like, oh, my God, you have to do this for 8 hours?
I remember one time I drove past a toll booth, and the woman, you know, I'm thinking, like, wow, you really sit in this, like, really small occupied space for 8 hours. And she was the happiest person I'd ever met. She was in there dancing. She was, like, so cheery. Like, she changed my mood. She put me in a better mood. And I was just like, teach me how to approach everything in my life just like this.
I feel like when I travel, I get that perspective a lot more. It's early this morning, and my brain isn't working quite right yet, but let me try this one. This was years and years and years ago. I was staying in Mexico, and I was married at the time. And we were staying at a pretty nice resort, and I'll be honest with you. I'm a pretty cheap guy, except when it comes to vacations. I'll overspend for experiences. So we're staying at a pretty nice hotel, and we're at a restaurant that overlooks the beach. It's right on the beach. And it's nighttime, so it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock while we're eating dinner, and down the beach, I can't quite make what's happening, but I can see like there's something on four legs that is sort of walking or crawling down the beach, and I can hear a child behind it kind of crying, but I can't make out exactly what it is, right? And at this point, it's probably, I don't know, 50 yards, and I'm still not picking it up. And as he, it turns out, gets closer to me, this dude was in like tidy whitey wet underwear, and he was on all fours, and he had what looked to be like a plastic bag in his mouth as he is on all fours and he is going down the shoreline, and he is catching little itty bitty fish and putting them into this bag that is hanging from his mouth, which was clearly going to be used for bait the next morning. And his child, who must have been 3 or 4 years old, maybe even younger than that, was following him on the beach, was probably tired and probably hungry, but dad had to make a living. So he's on all fours going down the beach trying to find this bait. And I thought of myself at the time, like, I'm never going to complain ever again about what I do for a living, because people get up in the morning and this is their life, man. This is their job, you know?
I feel like I get that perspective every single time I go on vacation. Like, there is nothing that will force you to be grateful and have more gratitude than going on vacation and seeing what people have to do for a daily, for every day, just to make a dollar and to make ends meet. I even remember being on the beach seeing men take seaweed out of the water. And I was like, that looks like impossible. But they, sure enough, they sitting there just taking the seaweed out the water, and you sitting on the beach just like enjoying what they're doing, and they seem to be happier than me. I'm like, man, this is good perspective on life.
Now, to be fair, I'm sure there's people that listen to us and go, oh my God, they have to be happy every single day. They have to try and make a joke every single
day.
That's
not always easy.
I think everyone is just built for different jobs, and so like, well, we might look at a cubicle and go, oh my God, that would literally send me into a bored haze.
Right.
Some people enjoy the consistency and they love what they do, so I think that perspective matters as well.
Yeah, some would say, oh my God, God, I can't believe they have to watch Secret Lives of Mormon Wives at his age and continue to talk about that, right?
For sure.
I do find, you know, when we're talking about traveling and stuff, I think that there is a difference in the United States and other places that you go that don't have all the amenities that we have here. You know, I think that we are so raised in a society that is so money conscious, you got to get by conscious, work first, live second, that when I travel around the country and I see people that appear to me to be so much happier with so much less, that's what I love about traveling. I mean, there are families that have literally, what are you going to do at night? You're going to kick a can because they don't even have a soccer ball in the street, and that's what they do, yet they're so happy.
So happy. Like you said, it's exactly that. They are so much happier with so much less, and it just will really cause you to reflect on your life and the things that you consider problems. Like we always say, with Burt's Big Adventure, we mostly have inconveniences, not problems. And when you see a problem, you realize you usually have an inconvenience.
Truth.
Yeah, I remember thinking that was really interesting, talking and meeting with people when I was over in like London and Ireland last year. And like the first question, it's like a knee-jerk reaction for Americans to be like, what do you do? What's your job? Mm-hmm. And they're like, why are you asking me that? Like, this is so, like, this, you have nothing better to talk about? Like, no. Oh, this is our life over here.
Yeah, I think it's a status thing when you ask somebody, what do you do for a living? You're either like making a judgment. I don't know if it's a subconscious thing where you're trying to size them up. But in other parts of the world, that's never asked.
They don't even care.
No, they don't even care.
Just want to talk about life or today or what's right in front of you, being actually in the moment.
And you know what? They're way more interesting than all of us.
Absolutely.
All right, deep thoughts and now superficial thoughts.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It looks like there's going to be a big NFL wedding. Because allegedly, and I'm using the word allegedly pretty strongly here, because apparently she's only told one person, but Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick are apparently engaged.
Are you the one person they told?
Come on.
No, according to many sources, Jordan Hudson has told at least one person, if not multiple people, that she and Bill Belichick are going to be married. Now, I had already kind of suspected this because there were a couple of photos of her floating around where she had a ring on that particular finger. But oh my God, if you were his kids and you're finding out through the news that you're getting written out of the will, how mad are you?
I would be pretty mad.
So mad.
I wonder if he knows that they're going to be getting married, or she's just saying this to her friends. I can't take them seriously, man. Can a guy that's 72 years old fall in love? I mean, intimately in love, not the physical parts of it. Mm-hmm. Can he really fall in love with like a 25-year-old?
Well, I mean, that's why everyone is like, why are you guys together? But I mean, I think after seeing that CBS interview and just seeing how involved she is in every part of his life, to me, this isn't shocking anymore. To me, I'm like, okay, you've been together for a little over 2 years. You guys have known each other for 4. She is clearly running stuff behind the scenes. After that interview, I was just, I was flabbergasted. I'm like, I can't believe this your frontal lobe isn't even developed. And here you are running former Patriots head coach, 7-time or 8-time Super Bowl champion head coach, Bill Belichick's life. I mean, I think she wields a lot more power than we can even realize.
I don't disagree. I think her frontal lobe is developed enough for her to realize what's in front of her. And yeah. I think maybe there's something to Bill Belichick having been in control for all of these years and having been have all these responsibilities for all of these years. And maybe he's just at a point in his life where he's like, yo, do whatever. I don't care. I just want to live the rest of my life out with this woman. And it really wouldn't shock me if they do get married, not even in the least.
I think she's got a couple of frontal lobes, and that's all he sees.
She got two of them. Well, in more salacious news on their part, speaking of the control she might have over his professional life, apparently she lost him an NFL Hard Knocks TV show deal. So I guess this is like a TV show, kind of like what I would make the equivalent comparison to is like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader show, where it's like training camp and they're wondering who's going to make the team for whatever NFL team that they're highlighting. But apparently they were in talks to do a Hard Knocks show for UNC Chapel Hill, which Bill Belichick is now the coach of. And allegedly, Jordan Hudson made all of these demands. Like, she wanted to be partial owner of the show. She wanted final say in all the creative decisions. And because of that, NFL Hard Knocks actually pulled out. And now she is apparently negotiating with a different studio called Ever Wonder to do a similar type deal.
I think that would have been actually successful if they found a way to pull off. Because yes. It's basically the NFL's version of a reality show. Mm-hmm. And everybody's already so invested in their relationship. I actually think that would have been a very successful show.
Home run. Yeah, I definitely would have watched it just to see if it's a real relationship or not.
Me too.
So Bill Belichick has said that it actually has nothing to do with, you know, any kind of behind the scenes drama for the reason that the deal was pulled. He's saying that because it's specifically a show about training camp, he's like, we're so much more than training camp, and that's why he pulled out. But I have a big feeling it has a little bit more to do with his lady. All right, Justin Bieber is catching heat for how he congratulated his wife on landing the cover of Vogue. I'm going to tell you why on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I think you'll start to realize at some point in your life that the grass is brown everywhere. People that are in relationships want to be single. Those that are single want to be in relationships. Rebecca is here to prove my point.
Yeah, I have a newly minted boyfriend. We've been dating for a month and a half, and it's terrible.
I'm sure it's so bad.
It's so bad.
And I'll remind you that it never gets any better than the first 4 weeks of your relationship.
That's a fact.
That is the golden era.
Oh, for sure. We're in the honeymoon phase, and yet I am so hyper self-aware of how cringe we are. Just how embarrassing it is to actually like someone.
Their love language is not acts of service or words of affirmation. She told me the other day that love language is shrimp.
Shrimp.
Wait, what?
It's sharing shrimp memes.
Okay, on the first date, we bonded because we both really like shrimp.
Uh-huh.
So it's like every morning I send him a little shrimp meme so that he can wake up and have a brighter day.
Absolutely adorable, but also something in a year you'll look back on and go, wasn't that stupid?
y'all are definitely meant to be.
Seriously. Yeah. It's just corny. It's so corny.
But that's what makes it so great.
I know.
You got this one commonality, so everything is so cute and we're so in love and shrimp memes. Yay!
Is it great or is it absolutely horrifying? It's terrible. So I am here in solidarity with single people because I was one of you. Abby, I was one of you.
Yeah, like 4 days single. Ago. You were me last week.
I know. I didn't have a boyfriend for 5 years.
Yes.
So I am here to tell you why having a boyfriend, it's actually terrible.
Okay.
I have 5 reasons.
Because it was bordering on condescending to Abby there for a second. Abby,
no.
I just want to let you know I haven't forgotten what it was like to be lonely like you with a cat, with a couple of cats and nothing to do on a Friday night. Abby, it's okay over here.
No, I remember.
Don't give up hope at the bottom.
Chronically single people are my favorite genre of people. I love Abby.
You just don't want to be one of them.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, number one. My arms are getting so much weaker because he carries everything for me.
Wow. Here we go.
No, that's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Okay.
The number one actual reason why having a boyfriend sucks is because you will want to better yourself.
Ugh.
That is a foreign feeling to me.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling.
I try to avoid people like that are going to try to make me better.
Yeah. Why do you need to get better? You already won. You already got the prize.
No. That's true.
You've trapped him. Nope. You can get worse.
I have to keep him now. I'm literally waking up and I'm like, I should probably work out. I should read a book and try to impress him. We went grocery shopping and he told me that he only buys cage-free eggs. And I realized I have to hide the fact from him that I'm a bad person.
Well, he's got money if he's buying cage-free eggs in this economy.
No, he's just really sensitive.
Most of my relationships, the woman that I was dating definitely went the other way.
I know. He's going to find out that I'm a bad person. Okay, number two is inevitable, and it's something that people say they're never going to do. They're not going to be this person, but every single person is always this person as soon as they start seeing someone, and that is they neglect their friends.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Been there.
Yep.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of flack for it already, and I have noticed I am somewhat neglecting my friends. My best friend, this is actually not even a joke. This morning I woke up and she had sent me 5 photos of her cat in various poses, just no commentary, just that. And this isn't normal. She'd never done that before. That's a cry for help.
It is. It's a bet for attention.
And it's one I'm not answering. Okay, number three, this is, I think, the worst for me specifically. And that's that you think that you've met someone, you've met a boyfriend, you don't have to meet anyone else. But that's not the case. Now I have to meet a plethora of different people that are in his life.
Oh, God, yeah.
I do hate that part.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yes.
Have you met the friends yet?
So that's the crazy thing. My boyfriend is like super cute. He's a big nerd. And one of the biggest misconceptions about nerds is that they don't have friends. Nerds pull up in like gangs.
They roll up with their Pokemon Go.
Yes. They have like Pokemon packs. Like they are always together. He has like a plethora of like very cool, very friendly people that I have to meet constantly. And I've embarrassed myself multiple times already because I'm just really bad at being a human, I think. I have this really big like stainless steel water bottle. And I have entered like a building with a room where his friends are in. And I have dropped it onto a cement floor twice. And it sounds like a gong going off. And people just stare at you. And I am mortified.
The nerd group is a hard one to break. It is. They're very, very tight.
Well, they have so many bits. Like, they already have, like, things that they say that they've, like, rehearsed. And it's like, I can't just jump in like, oh, let me enter your little conversation. Like, it's really hard to break into. Okay, 4 is super simple. My sleep schedule is totally screwed up because I just want to stay up and talk to him.
Why dream when your reality is so much better?
So I'm not getting any beauty or brain rest. I'm looking so haggard every morning because I want to talk to him. And then finally, number 5, and this one may be more specific to me again, and that's that I have not watched a full movie in like a month and a half.
Oh.
And I love movies. Hey. We both love movies.
You're both just pretending to enjoy Titanic for 10 minutes.
We turn on movies all the time because we love watching movies, but you know what's better? Than watching a movie.
What is better than watching a movie?
A long, meaningful conversation.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That wasn't the landing we were hoping for.
I doubled down on the movie, man.
Right, yeah, right.
Don't be like me. You don't want this.
Enjoy it. This is the golden era for you guys right now.
The Burt Show.
Congratulations. Your kid is about to graduate high school. Yeah, they've done most of the heavy lifting here, but I mean, it's kind of a time to celebrate for the entire family, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Like, you raise them, you've taught them all they know except for math and science and language arts and social studies.
So let's give them credit, right? So we're giving you guys the opportunity to give your kids a senior shout out. There are a couple of ways you can do it. You can either leave a voicemail at 404-954-1360, or you can go to our app and you'll see a little microphone in the bottom right corner of the app. You can just leave us a voice memo right there. And there are just a couple of things you need to leave on it also. Their name, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Their city and their school and whatever else you want to say. And we will do these once a morning. In fact, here is the last round that we got for senior shout outs.
Hi, I wanted to shout out my graduating senior, Finn McIntosh. He's graduating with the class of 2025 on Thursday, May 22nd from Druid Hills High School. He's just worked so hard and such a great kid and is headed to NYU in the fall. We're so proud of you, Finn. And incidentally, he also came to a P1 party that we catered for y'all. So we love you, Finn. We love you, Burt Show. Thank you. Bye.
I would like to leave a message for my nephew, Aaron. I am so, so proud of you. He's graduating from Farrell High School in Atlanta, Georgia, and I just can't wait to see what great things you accomplish in your future.
Hey, congrats to my son, Dane, who graduates from Stars Mill High School this Friday. Whoop, whoop.
Her name is Addie McCullough. She's graduating from Hebrew Christian Academy in Georgia. And I want to give her a special shout out to embarrass her. And I love her.
I would love to give some senior shout out love to Nathan Schuler. He is graduating from Loganville High School. I am so excited for him. I'm so excited for the next chapter in his life. And to all seniors, I'm so excited and so proud of all of you. Go class of 2025.
I want to give a shout out to all the seniors at Appalachian High School in Bethlehem, more specifically my son, Devin Hyde. I know this year has been super tough on you and all your classmates, buddy. We are so proud of you guys for pushing through and never giving up. I can't wait to watch you dominate pilot school. I love you, bud.
Congratulations, Benjamin Acosta. Congratulations for graduating Centennial High School. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to see you in your future.
Hi, my name is Cassandra Cooper, and I want to give a senior shout-out to my daughter, Juliana Cooper, who graduated from Jackson County High School with honors. Me and her dad are so proud of her, and we love her so much. Go, class of 2025.
All right, so you want to shout out your senior, 404-954-1360. Or again, go to the Burt Show app in the bottom right corner. You'll see a little microphone. Just leave a voice note right there and we'll get them on the air. It has been tough the last couple of weeks, I know, for you parents, man, because my kid had senioritis like 3.5 weeks ago. And I've been pumping him up every day, man. Come on, dude. We only got 19 days left. Come on, bro. It's only 18 days, dude. You can do this.
I'm surprised he waited to have senioritis until a month ago, because for me it was like day one. I was like, yeah, get me out of here.
That's what I was about to say. It was all senior year from the first day.
Yeah, he was done. I think it's about a month ago, and it has been really like a pull, man. And some, you know, there are some teachers that are like, hey, you guys are gone. You know what? The next 2 weeks are going to take it real easy. But he's got a couple of teachers that are like, no, I'm going to make you work to the very last second.
They give you a pop quiz on your way home.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
All right, so here's an interesting email. I want you parents to get in on this also, because it has to do with their kid driving. She wants to know, should she force her kid to drive or not?
Hi, Burt Show. My husband and I are longtime listeners and really value your perspectives. So I thought I'd reach out for a little advice on a parenting dilemma we're currently facing. Our 17-year-old son is about to graduate high school. And like many parents, we've been thinking about how to mark this milestone in a meaningful way. One idea we've had for a while was to gift him our older backup car as a graduation present. Something practical, useful, and symbolic for this new chapter in his life. But here's the catch. He has absolutely no interest in driving. He hasn't shown any desire to get his license, and he doesn't seem eager to even start learning. My husband still thinks giving him the car might be just the push he needs to finally get motivated. He sees it as a gesture of trust and responsibility that could inspire our son to take that next step towards independence. On the other hand, I'm a little more hesitant. Part of me worries that we're trying to force something he's just not ready for, whether emotionally or mentally. I don't want him to feel like he's failing us by not being where we thought he'd be at this age, or worse, end up resenting what was meant to be a gift. We're really torn on what to do and would love to hear your thoughts. Is this the kind of nudge that helps teens grow, or should we hold off and let him come to driving on his own timeline? Graduation is coming up fast, so any input you could share would be hugely appreciated. Thanks so much for taking the time to read this. Samantha.
That's a good one. Parents, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Do you force him into driving, or do you say, hey, you know what? They're not ready. They don't want to, so they find different means. I got so many opinions on this. There have been times where I have been a rigid parent. My dad was super rigid. My dad was rigid to the 10th. So I'll say I was rigid to the 4th. I was a little bit better than him. But it just, you know, I think when I was growing up, it was just in a time that when you could get your driver's license, you couldn't get down there fast enough. It was that day. As soon as you got out of school, your parents were with you and you were going to get your driver's license, because it was freedom, right? And it's also freedom for your parents also. Like, my parents just were sick of driving me around everywhere. So in my day, back in my day, that's what we did. And I think you tend to press that on your kids too, which I did with my eldest son, and it was a mistake. I've got two kids that are so incredibly different from each other. One, no problem. Couldn't wait to like hang out with his friends, get in his car, go hang out, see different things. But Hayden was reluctant right from the start. Didn't want to, was scared to drive, but he always like, he kind of veers a little on the anxious side anyway. So I'm like, we'll get over it. As soon as you get into the car, you're going to get over it. So I forced it on him, and it was the wrong decision. You got to listen. You got to meet your kids where they are, man. I mean, I got him into that car, and then I was so rigid like my dad. Then I bought him a car, and then he banged that thing up all over the place. And I finally had to take the car away from him because he banged it up so much, and he was just a crappy driver.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. I'll show you pictures of the car. It looks like it was in one of those old school demolition derbies.
What did he do to it?
He hit everything.
He was like playing bumper cars.
I mean, literally everything. I mean, it was really, really bad. And it got to a point where I was joking about it so much that I had to take a look at myself and go, this isn't going to be very funny when he gets into an accident with somebody and hurts them him and hurts himself. So there was one day I just had to pull the car from. I should have listened to him. You got to listen to your kids.
This is so different because you're so used to kids at that age wanting to drive and being so excited to drive. I don't think I would force this on my kid. I mean, I do think I would at least try to encourage them to let me teach them to drive, like be in the car, because you never know when you might be in a situation where you at least need to know how to drive. But as far as forcing them to have a car and hit the road, if that's not what they really want to do, I couldn't see myself doing it because I would be afraid I would regret it. Mm-hmm. If something were to happen, I feel like I would blame myself and I would be like, my kid told me that they weren't ready and I kind of forced it on them and I didn't listen and I should have. So for that reason, I would try to encourage it because I do think you need it, even though I know firsthand you can't survive without a car, even though I've done it because a big part of that is me being from New York City. It's so common to not have a car. It is possible. I wouldn't force it on them. I would just try to encourage it.
Abby, you just got your driver's license a couple of years ago. How'd your parents handle that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what they say. You can lead a kid to the car, but you can't make them drive. And I think that's the
they
perfect.
They definitely say that.
They definitely say that for sure. And I think this is the perfect example of that, of if he doesn't want to drive, that's his prerogative. And the only thing you can really do as a parent is, like Mo said, teach him how to drive, give him the skills to be able to survive as an adult. So when he realizes you can't really exist without a car, although you're doing pretty well without a car.
It's possible.
It is tougher to exist without a car in the real world if you have a job that requires you to drive or something along those lines. So I would do what you can to prepare him, but I think it would be a mistake to give him a gift of something he's not going to be interested in and excited about. If you want to gift it to him somewhere along the way when he is ready to drive, but I think giving it to him as like his big culmination of a graduation gift would be an error.
Hey, Donna, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning. I agree with what the last few people are talking about. I would not force it. My son decided he didn't want to drive till he was 18, and I'm like, okay, if there's a fear, then, you know, God forbid something happens. Yeah. And, like, you know, you regret it for the rest of your life. So I absolutely would not force it. When they're ready, you'll know it.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. So I grew up in an environment, and I passed this on to my kids also, and it was the wrong thing, is that when you're scared of something, you attack it immediately. You don't let it, you don't run away from it. So when Hayden was telling me that he was scared to drive, my initial instinct was, then get in the car and let's drive. And it was the wrong thing to do. That's that rigid thinking. Like, I wasn't listening to him. It was that generational attitude that I was putting on him, and it was the wrong decision.
I wouldn't say that's completely wrong, though. I do think there are times in life when you are supposed to do it scared.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things you're going to have to do scared. I just think if the end result could actually be, like, your life on the line, then that's not the time.
100%. And as a parent, you're making those decisions all the time.
For sure.
Because I do think that this generation lacks a little grit. And that comes from sometimes from parents. Good morning, Megan. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning, Burt Show. First of all, I love you guys. I am a P1 from day one.
Thank you, Megan. Thanks for being part of the show. What you got?
Absolutely. So I am in this predicament as well. My son, Teddy, is 15, and he does not want to drive at all. He doesn't want to get behind the wheel. He doesn't want to learn in a parking lot. And I am of the opinion that, you know what, I'm not going to force him. I don't want to put him in a situation where he freaks out and wrecks the car, or where he's just so anxious because his dad and I live about an hour apart. His dad is kind of the opinion, he needs to learn to drive. He wants to go to school at Georgia Tech. He needs to learn to drive. But I have told my son, look, we're going to take this at your pace because driving is, you're driving a huge machine and everyone knows Atlanta traffic is terrible. So I don't feel like it should be something forced on your teenager. I think it should be, you know, your kid, you know what they're capable of. And while he's very responsible and a great student, he's just not ready. It freaks him out. And I don't feel like I'm going to force my son into something that's going to make him more anxious. And maybe he gets in a little fender bender in a mall parking lot and never wants to drive again.
Yeah, Megan, I think you represent, as an overreaching opinion, the difference between moms and dads here, where dads are like, get in there, get in that car, where moms are more like, they'll embrace the situation, nurture the situation, and dad is just like, get in that car. Yeah, I'm with you on that. You really got to take direction from your kids.
It's definitely a balance from the parents, but I agree with what you said. You got to learn to meet your kids where they're at.
Yeah, it's never a good idea to push your kid out into the road in any situation, so.
The Burt Show.
So let me ask you guys this question. Rebecca, let me ask you. Katie, let me ask you. Even though you guys are in new, great relationships right now, so these are off the table. The question is, because I find myself right now in a relationship, have you ever been in a relationship where you want to get out of it? Every single day you're thinking, how can I get out of it? But you don't have the guts to leave and you stay in that relationship for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was my last boyfriend, actually. I knew he was not Mr. Right. Like, even when we started dating, I was like, this is not going to actually go anywhere. And then it went places for 2 years because I just couldn't break up with him.
You took him everywhere.
I took him everywhere.
The last 6 months of my very first relationship was like that. I even wrote a breakup letter. Then I was like, nah, crumple it up.
Like, every second you're in it, you're just like, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that.
Mo?
Not really. Maybe my first relationship, I stayed a little longer, but that was like the lesson I needed to become a leaver. I will leave.
Okay.
As soon as I start feeling like it's over, I'm out.
Good for you. My relationship is not Amanda. It is Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Okay. I can't get out of this relationship with this show, and I hate it so much.
That was me Sunday night. I was like, I physically cannot turn it off. Like, I know I have to be up at 4 a.m., but like, no, I need to know what happens. I need to know how much more they're going to fight and what they're going to fight about.
I don't believe you actually want to be out of this relationship.
Dude, I legitimately was watching it with Amanda last night, and every second I was saying, I am wasting my life watching this trash. And I didn't have the guts to say, can we turn this off and turn the Braves game on? It was right there for me. But here's the question that I want to ask the women on the show. First of all, I don't think any man should watch this show at all. None. Because it gives in to the stereotype that women just can't get along with each other at all. It's dangerous for guys to watch this show. So here's what I want to ask you. The whole thing kind of fascinates me. And if you don't know about it, it's a bunch of women, moms on that started being influencers on TikTok because they were just dancing. They were just dancing with their kids and dancing with each other. And they're fairly attractive. And from what I understand on TikTok, that's all they did.
Yeah, I mean, from what I could see, it was just like a lot of like dancing and lip syncing videos, which, I mean, they catch a lot of fire, especially if you're an attractive woman on that app to where, yeah, you can turn yourself into a very successful influencer.
And I'm not exactly sure how popular the show was before there was this big scandal in the Mormon community with these women. They were hooking up with each other's wives and they were swapping and stuff like that. And that's where I think that their popularity started to skyrocket.
Well,
right?
That's how they got the reality show, is that Taylor, who's kind of like the head honcho on the show, she did this live stream on TikTok where she revealed this whole swinging scandal, and that's when Hulu was like, oh my god, we should do a show about this. This is amazing.
So there's like 8 or 10 different women that are in this group, right? And they're all between 20 and 30 years old. So this is what I want to ask you guys, because it's been very long since I've been a 20-year-old woman.
Me too.
Is what you see on this show, which is them just going behind. They love each other and they hate each other at the same time. Each episode, the producers maybe are forcing this on us, but they're talking crap about each other. They're breaking off into like different groups. This group all of a sudden doesn't like this girl, so they start to cannibalize her. And then all of a sudden that girl is part of the group again, and she starts cannibalizing on another girl in this group. And all it is 1 hour of them arguing with each other and then making up with each other and then turning on somebody else. And I'm just curious to know if the popularity of this show is connecting with people because it's true in your 20s, or is it just like people like to watch a train wreck?
I think the reason it's unpopular with me, but also the reason I can't turn it off, is because I've been in so many of those situations. Like, I find it actually very triggering to watch. Like, I'll watch a fight go down and I'm like, oh my God, I've been in this exact situation. Oh my God. And it brings back all these memories. But because you've been in those situations, you're like, I need to know how it ends. Like, do they make up? Are they going to be better people because of this fight? And of course they never are. But I think the really sad truth is that this does represent a lot of friend groups out there in the world.
Between your 20s and 30s. I'm assuming when you get older than that, you get a little bit more mature and it's not as bad. Maybe I'm wrong. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
So I consider myself a little bit of a reality TV connoisseur. My brain is like rotted from the inside because I've watched so much reality TV, including Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
God, it's so bad.
But I've always loved it because it's not representative of my life.
Okay.
Like, I feel like it's sort of the opposite of my friendships that I've had, especially with women. And, you know, they aren't hiring these people because they're sane. They're hiring them because they're absolutely crazy. And when I was in my 20s, I wasn't fully sane. I had a couple friends that I was like, okay, these are my fighting friends. Like, we're going to go out and we might get into shenanigans. We're probably going to talk bad about each other. We're going to make up the next day. So maybe it's like a little bit of a microcosm of what happens in the real world, but it's a fantasy for me.
No, this is a representation of my first 2 years of college.
Is that right?
Like, yeah. That's
like 22 you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there are some girls on the show that are like 23, 24, and I think it goes up to like 30 or 31.
That's what I find so jarring. Like, Jen Affleck, the one that's been in that really controversial relationship after her husband like freaked out when she went to that male dance review, she's like 24. Yeah. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, you have three kids and you're younger than me?
She should have been in the club.
You should be in the club, Jen Affleck. Well,
that's the Mormon life, man.
It's definitely a maturity thing, though, because the first 2 years of my college was like, career was like that with girl groups. We had two groups, and one girl, she would get mad and call a meeting and be like, everybody, let's meet at so-and-so's dorm and let's talk it out. Then we would fight about it and then make up about it. And then next day, it'll be some more boy drama and going back and forth and yeah, yeah, yeah. And then lo and behold, we went our separate ways in friend groups and never were friends again. And we just learned that we weren't friends. We weren't meant to be friends. We were just immature.
There's so much backstabbing that goes on in this show that you have to wonder, because it is so forced. Like, no sane person would ever do some of the things they do when all these girls get together. The producers are like forcing the truth box on them, whatever it's called, where they're just asking each other. It's kind of like our plead the fifth, like the worst of our plead the fifth questions. Mm. They ask each other at parties in sort of the voice of, well, it'll make us all closer to each other, when clearly it's not going to.
No sane person would sign up for this unless they knew they were getting $100,000 at the end of it. And you know what? To be fair, I might do it too for that money.
Now, here's Tina to raise an interesting point. The dudes on this show are not great either. Hey, Tina, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I literally can't stand the men. Like, Dakota, I wish he would just go away and don't come on the show. He is so bad for but they're bad for each other. They're bad for each other. Like, she's got her issues. He's got his. It's a train wreck. And I can't stand Demi's husband. Like, I used to love Demi.
Mm-hmm.
She's a total you-know-what-a.
We do not.
This is the season. Like, last season, she was kind of likable. I think you and I were talking about this yesterday.
She was the favorite.
Yeah.
She was the favorite.
It was so jarring, because out of all the women, the only people I followed after I finished season one was Demi. I was like, oh, she, like, says what's on her mind, and I love that. She doesn't let things, like, fester. But then I watched the second season, and I was like, oh, my God, she's the problem. And then I had to go and rewatch season one, because I was like, I loved her so much in the first time around. Like, what happened? And I realized she's just always been this way.
Yeah, there is no likable person on this show, Mo.
So what is likable about this show to make y'all keep going back?
The fact that it's so unlikable.
Okay.
Have you ever had like a toxic ex-girlfriend? It's like, you don't know why you're with her, but like, for some reason, you just can't get away.
Yeah, I've been there, for sure. Yeah.
It's
because
it ignites like a sort of hatred and passion in you that it's like, I feel alive.
The Burt Show. Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Speaking of toxic relationships, Justin Bieber is catching some major heat for how he decided to congratulate his wife Hailey on landing the cover of Vogue. Now, for anybody in the fashion world, landing the cover of Vogue is a big deal. Like, I don't know what the male equivalent would be, like getting the cover of Sports Illustrated or whatever, but
GQ,
yeah, getting like a men's health spread or something. Like, this is a big deal, getting this cover. It's so coveted amongst influencers and models and celebrities. And Justin Bieber decided to let Hailey know just how much he was proud of her by posting her cover on his Instagram with this very controversial caption that people lost their mind over. So he posts the cover of Vogue on his Instagram, and this is what the caption says. He says, "Yo, this reminds me when Hailey and I got into a huge fight. I told Hales that she would never be on the cover of Vogue. Yikes, I know, so mean. For some reason, because I felt so disrespected, I thought I gotta get even. I think as we mature, we realize that we're not helping anything by getting even. We're honestly just prolonging what we really want, which is intimacy and connection. So, baby, you already know. But forgive me for saying you wouldn't get a Vogue cover, because clearly I was sadly mistaken.
Who would ever say that to their significant other?
I don't think anyone alive. That's a magnificent troll.
I am so sick of people marrying people they don't like. Like, just simply choose a person that you enjoy being around. And if you want to spend the rest of your life with them, then get married. But if you don't like them... don't do it.
You made this point last week on the show when we were talking about relationships and marriages, and I thought it was spot on. That the divorce rate could be so high because people are getting married to people they don't like.
It's shocking.
People have been doing that since the beginning of time. I just think we're finally starting to evaluate it. But I do think the majority of people, for some reason, would rather be married to someone they don't like than alone with themselves. Because maybe they don't like themselves either.
Yeah, I heard this cliche a long time ago, and it has something to do with what you're saying, is that most people would rather be with somebody for the wrong reasons than be by themselves for the right reasons.
Bingo.
Absolutely. And I get it. Like, I've been single for a really long time, so it's tough. And I think it requires some level of perseverance, in the sense that, like, if you're not going to be with someone, you have to be strong in those moments where it's difficult to not be with someone. Like, going to weddings by yourself is the most depressing thing ever. You're watching somebody get, like, everything they've ever wanted in terms of love, and you're sitting there like, okay, I'm going to go home to my two cats. But I think being single and choosing it for the right reasons, for me, has always been easier than sitting across the table from someone and going, I don't like this dude. Like, this isn't going anywhere. So maybe they should have decided that a long time ago, or maybe they really do love each other, but he just has a really weird way of expressing his appreciation for his really hot supermodel influencer celebrity wife.
Yeah, I don't think he's trolling. It's not possible that he's just like, because I feel like there's always like some types of headlines that come out where it's like, what is this about? But it always seems to take off and get people talking.
You think maybe it's calculated?
Sometime I do.
I don't know.
He ended up deleting the caption because it got so much backlash, because every woman in the comments was like, why would you say this about your wife? Yeah. Why would you say this in public? Like, it's one thing if, you know, you're at like a party and you're celebrating it, and he's like, you know what? I said something really stupid a couple of years ago amongst friends and family who know you and know your relationship.
Right.
But don't put that out to the world. We're all like, we already think you're getting divorced. Like, there's headlines that come out every single day that these two are splitting up, and you're just adding fuel to your own fire.
Right.
It's ridiculous. All right. Harvey Weinstein just gave his first interview in years, and he has some controversial comments about his upcoming retrial. I'll tell you everything and more on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.